going to go back to Joshua tonight. Going to the sixth chapter of Joshua. Chapter on Jericho. Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then we'll comment on some of these things. This is a little bit longer chapter than before, but I think we'll still get through it. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all of the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout, then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the 2 men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth the city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And so they've come to Jericho now and are prepared to take this first city. Now, Jericho was a very strong city. The walls were very thick and of stone and very high. You remember that the spies, when they went into Rahab's house, and she lived up on the wall, and then she let them down the wall on that rope. That's because it was high. And so when we come to this and we look at this place where Israel has come, I was a little bit impressed with the fact that where before, when they went to spy out the land, they came back very dejected, except for, of course, Joshua and Caleb. At this time, even though they're standing seriously in front of this very large walled city, we don't see anybody complaining or murmuring here. And what we find is that they move exactly as God tells them to, even though it makes no sense whatsoever. And it really doesn't. I mean, you think about what they've been asked to do here. It makes no sense whatsoever. This is not how you take a great walled city. There are many good military strategies for taking a heavily walled city, and this is not one of them. Nobody has used it since then, by the way, only in this one case. And so if you think about all these people, and here they're standing here, and what we're going to think about tonight, a couple of things. One is victory comes by faith. And faith is what prompts us or leads us to obey God. James talks about faith and its in its active form, if you will. That is, that faith has action with it. It brings something. And the one thing that we have to recognize is before we can be obedient to God, we have to believe. We have to believe what he has said and believe that he is who he said. Being obedient to God is a result of faith placed in him and in his word. And without that, we won't get anywhere. And so God tells Joshua here at the beginning of this, I thought it was interesting, by the way, this is, I guess, a little bit of a side note, but in the first verse, you know, it says Jericho was straightly shut up. They really thought, and earlier we noticed that people had gone to Jericho, people out in the countryside had gone in hoping to be safe. These people trusted in those walls. It had saved them many times previously from their enemies. And they trusted in that, and they shut themselves up in there. And the reason for that is because the way the city worked is there were big gates that you could go in and out with your cart and your horses and oxen and so on and come and go. If those were open, that was an awful easy place for the enemy to come into your city. And so they shut the gates and bolted them down. And that kept the city safe, or at least that's what they expected. But in verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, and this is a key, there's a couple of key things as we go through here. And this is one of them. The Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." And this is a key part of this whole chapter, which is God's statement about he is the one that has given. And it reminded me, I'm going to turn to Daniel real quick. You don't have to if you don't want to, but in the second chapter of Daniel, the secret that Daniel needed to know to save himself and his friends was revealed to him in the 19th verse. It says, the secret was revealed unto Daniel. And in verse 20, Daniel answered, said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." And this was a key thing that Daniel understood. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar as well, by the way, God is the one who sets up kings and takes down kings. That's God's doing. That's God's business. And so here in Joshua, we see that God is very clear with Joshua. And this is why the method that God uses is what we would call unorthodox. it doesn't match the thinking of men on how you do these things. Because by this method, it will be exceedingly clear that this was God's doing and not Israel's doing. And you know, God often needs to do things in our lives in this way. He does things in a way we kind of least expect. And the purpose of that is to remind us that He is the one that is bringing the victory. We didn't do that ourselves. And oftentimes, to be honest, oftentimes some of the things God does in our lives for us go very contrary to how we thought it should be done. The way that we would have chosen had it been left up to us to solve that problem or to bring about that victory. Oftentimes it's very contrary to that. So God tells them how they're going to do this. In verse 3, he says, you can pass the city, all men of war, and go around the city once. And you do that for 6 days. This is like a little guide to war against Jericho. Once around each day for 6 days. And he tells them, the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And I appreciate, by the way, that the number 7 used a lot in here. The number 7 speaks to us of perfection or completeness. And it's used quite a bit here. There's the 7 horns and there's 7 days. And so, you know, God does his work in his perfect time to do the perfect work that he wants to do. And so he sets this up. They have the priest going before with the horns and the ark. Now, here's a second thing, right? The ark. Why would you carry this thing when you're going to battle? This is a burden and is hampering, you know, people carrying the ark are not fighting. They're not going to be part of the fray because they can't. They're encumbered with this ark. But we want to remember that the ark, especially in as we see it here in the Old Testament, represents the presence of God. It represents God's presence going with them. And so now I ask the question a different way. Why would you ever go to war without the ark? Why would you ever go to war without God's presence? Why would you ever move? Well, that's the question we must ask ourselves, I think, often. Why would I want to move without God's presence there going before me? And so he tells them how to do this. They're going to go around once a day in this way. And I appreciate it, by the way, they're supposed to be quiet. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but in verse, as I was reading this, it stuck out at me. Verse 10, Joshua commanded the people, saying, "Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice." Now, I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people here. I don't know how many exactly were marching around, but there was a very large number of people. So you think about if you get a very large number of people together and are marching around, you think you're going to keep quiet. Yeah.
I think the thing here is you got to remember that this was not a military
order. It isn't, is it? Right.
That's what might have been lost on.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly right. It's not a war move. In fact, I was talking to Everett earlier. If you imagine the people of Jericho, I have a good imagination, kind of. Imagine the people of Jericho standing on the wall and looking down and watching this procession. Now, remember, they were deathly afraid of the Israelites. They had heard these things, and now they're watching them, and they're just walking around, blowing some horns, carrying their ark with them around the wall. I think, this is my opinion, it's not stated here obviously, but I think those people in Jericho were starting to scratch their head. By day 6, they were probably thinking, bunch of crazies. What were we so afraid of? But see, God was on their side, and this is the key. And I think about, you know, this thing about not making noise, you know, that doesn't ring with me at all, because that many people, they'd be talking and jabbering and so on, but they were to be quiet. And so there's several things in here that I appreciate about all of this. The first is obviously faith. We go by faith and we go with God's presence. And we obey God's word even in the places where it doesn't seem to follow the thinking of man. We had some we've had some thoughts in our lesson on Timothy about similar, similar things where, so many of God's people want to take God's word and try to make it fit into what they want to be doing or what they want things to be. Because, well, frankly, sometimes when we come to God's word, it doesn't mesh up with what man believes is the right way. You know, man has their ways of, they want things to do and they want to do things. So a lot of God's people have taken to changing the word of God to try to mesh up with their manner of life that they want to live. How much better to take God at his word and believe what he says. But that takes faith. See, by faith, I don't know if you can really just imagine this, but think about trying to get all these people to do this 6 days in a row. Now, I said the people on the wall are probably thinking, they're crazies by the end. But frankly, what about the people? After 6 days, you think some of them were going, this wasn't maybe such a good idea. Sometimes we're that way. We get started and then we go, maybe this isn't such a good idea. Maybe God didn't really know what he was talking about. Maybe I should go this other way. It takes faith in God's word. Faith to believe that what God says is the truth. And to simply believe that. And then that faith, when there's true faith, it will result in action, which is obedience to God. And so they did this. And it says that they did exactly that. They took up the ark. They took up the seven priests with the horns, and they went to marching around that city. And so they, by faith, they did what they were told. Now, the other thing, if you think about this again, walking around the city, they gave them 6 days to really get a good glimpse of those walls. And the walls were big and strong. I'm here to tell you that they were impressive. When we were in Paraguay, they have some remnants of some buildings that were built by Jesuit priests way back in the 1600s. And those buildings have very thick walls that you can walk on. They're about 3 or 4 foot wide at least. And they're made of these huge stones that are stacked on top of each other. And they're very impressive. You look at them, you go, man, I don't know how they got that there. Well, I'm here to tell you that Jericho was even more impressive than that. The walls were wide enough that two chariots could go on them. And they were made from large, heavy stones. And so they're walking around and they're looking at the walls. And, this is my imagination. I'm thinking, you're looking at the walls and every day you're looking at those stones and thinking, I don't know about this. I don't know about this. Sometimes there are things in our lives that God wants to give us victory over. And we look at him in our own thinking and we go, I don't know about this. I don't know. That's awful big. It's an awful big stone. It's a big wall. But the victory didn't come because they figured out how to break through the wall. And that's the other thing. The way it might have been done is somebody might have figured out, how do we kind of break through the doors or something like that? And God doesn't do that. They didn't have to figure out a way through the walls. The walls came down, completely down. So all they had to do was walk in. God doesn't do victories the way we think. And, our part, and this is what we find really in this chapter, our part is by faith to do what the Lord says. By faith to be obedient to him. And he will bring the victory. And he'll do it in his time. And in his way, and it will be a complete victory. There was a complete victory here in Jericho. Now, the other thing, this again, my imagination, there's this huge wall all the way around the city, and there's this piece of the wall where Rahab lives, and it's still there. All the walls come down, and that piece is still there. To me, I just imagine, God just went, cut that off and knocked everything down and left that piece standing there. That must have been, if you think, just think about Rahab, for example, and her family that was with her, that must have been amazing for them to see, to realize that they had to have been extremely impressed with God's amazing power. We've said this before, but you know, Rahab, her faith brought her into the lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't even Jewish, but her faith brought her into the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. This is the key, really the key piece that we're going to be taking out of Joshua as we go along step by step. It's always by faith. By faith, we walk in obedience to God's word, and he gives the victory. And he does it in his time and in his way. And we are the recipients of that victory. We are the beneficiaries of that victory. And this should really humble us to think about. I guess if I was in that company of the Israelites, I think in a way it would have been very humbling to realize you just gained victory over this very fortified city by no means of your own. A great victory, because they destroyed everything that was there. And so they had to shout on the last day. The seventh day, they had to go around seven times. And again, I imagine, I have to think that there was probably some in the group, obviously not the group as a whole, but there must have been some in the group that said, look, we've done this for 6 days, okay? Don't you think that's enough? I imagine there was some. There always seems to always be one or two in a group that, you know, kind of have that attitude. Don't you think it's enough? What are we doing here? You know, but God is bringing us to a place to realize that full obedience is the only way to true victory. Full obedience is the only way. Five days wasn't enough. 6 days wasn't enough. One time on the seventh day wasn't still enough. You know, they could have gone that and said, look, okay, look, you know, we've obeyed you for 6 days, okay? Enough already. We've done this. It's not partial obedience. It's not obedience to the point that we think it needs to be. It's obedience, complete obedience to God's word. And again, that comes by faith. Did they really believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do? Well, I think they did, actually, as a whole, at least. I think they did, because they went seven times on the seventh day. And then they were supposed to shout. And the shout, this is interesting to me, the shout comes before the victory. Now, normally, you know, you would think, oh, after the victory, let's all shout and you know, let's celebrate, right? Here, the shout came before the victory. This is a reminder to us that we shout in faith. That is, we proclaim the victory before it happens by faith, because he has said that it was going to be so. Yes, there's no doubt that there is rejoicing and enjoyment after the victory is complete. But the shout comes before the victory. And when they shouted, you can think about this with me a little bit. But they shouted, and I think as they started that shout again, I still envision people up on the wall thinking, what are these crazy people doing? Like they're going to shout us out or something. And the walls begin to crumble. Now, the sound of the walls crumbling had to be deafening, in my opinion. If you think about stones crumbling, you know, coming down. If you've ever seen a rock slide, you know that it can be very loud. That sound would have been overwhelming. But the victory was complete. The walls came down. God didn't make a hole in the wall. He didn't tear down the gates. He didn't give them ladders to climb the wall. He tore the walls down. A reminder that God doesn't do our victory halfway. He doesn't kind of just half do the victory and say, well, okay, the rest is up to you now. No, he tore the walls completely down. And so much so that Joshua said, you know, curse of the man that tries to rebuild this city. And as far as we know, Jericho was never even attempted to be rebuilt. It certainly doesn't exist today. I think they found some, what they think are foundations of the old city left there, but there's not been a city there rebuilt like that. And so God gives the victory, and the victory is by faith, and the victory is his. And so in verse 16, this is what Joshua says unto the people. So on the seventh time, the priest blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. You see here the shout before the victory, but the claim for the victory. The Lord hath given you. He doesn't say the Lord is going to give you. He says the Lord hath given you. This is the viewpoint of faith. That the viewpoint of faith is that God already has provided the victory. Paul tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. That's a present statement. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Because the victory has already been won. I was thinking about, important verses in the Bible. And, you know, what kind of verses might one consider to be really important verses? And to me, one of the most important verses that I thought about when I was doing that was when Jesus is on the cross and he says, it is finished. That's a very important verse. Because that is a statement of a fact that God had completed that part of his plan. And we, again, are beneficiaries of that victory that he obtained there. Some would have seen that as a defeat, by the way, because the Lord then gave up the Spirit. Some would have seen that as a defeat, but that was a great victory. It was the greatest victory. And that victory is ours to lay hold of. It's our victory to be had. I want to talk a little bit. We're going to get down to verse 17 here now. And he tells them before they go in, before all this happens and they go into the city to take it, he says, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, and she that and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers we sent. Rahab represents to us, again, that which is of faith. The city of Jericho represents a couple of different things, but you can think of the city of Jericho as the first place where the enemy tries to stop us from taking what God has for us, from laying hold of God's promises. This was the first place Israel came to before they, to take the land. It's the first stronghold that Satan will place in front of us to keep us, to prevent us from laying hold of God's promises. And for me, as I was thinking about that, two things came to mind. One is the flesh. One of Satan's strongholds that will keep us from laying hold of God's best. And the other, of course, is the world system, which we know that Satan is controlling at this time. He will use those things to prevent us from laying hold of God's promises. And so what's the solution? Well, the solution is what we just talked about. Our victory comes by faith. We don't overcome the flesh because we're so strong and capable. We overcome the flesh by faith, by trusting in him. How do we overcome the world? Same thing. We trust in our Lord. The victory comes through him. These things are in our way. Often, sometimes people say, well, you're your worst enemy. Well, sometimes we are, if you will, because we allow the flesh to get in front of us and get in our way and keep us, prevent us from laying hold of God's promises. We have the privilege of experiencing victory. Second Corinthians, let's go to 2 Corinthians. Didn't write this one down, but it was in my head earlier today, so let's just go find it. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and 4. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not part of the flesh. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. by faith. See, our weapons are not carnal. They're not fleshly human weapons, even though oftentimes God's people, that's how they want to go to war. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty. They are mighty. See, our God is mighty. The children of Israel, they didn't have anything to bring those walls down. No pry bars, no dynamite, none of that stuff to bring the walls down. But what they had was that one weapon that is mighty, and that is their God. And as we are in this battle, and we are in a battle because the enemy wants to do everything he can to impede our progress and to keep us from fully enjoying and laying hold of God's promises in front of us and his provision. And he wants to do everything he can to stop that and to prevent that. And so there are big walled cities like Jericho. And the only way that we're going to gain the victory over those is by trusting, by faith. God is the one who gives us the victory. We can't get the victory over the flesh in ourselves. That's kind of silly to even think about, isn't it? Like, I'm fighting against myself. That victory over the flesh, it comes from God. It comes from the Holy Spirit working in our lives through the Word. This is why we talk about how important the Word is, right? We always get back to that thought about how important it is to be in God's Word, to know these things that we just have been considering and what we just read here in 2 Corinthians, to know these things that are ours, to know that we are more than conquerors. What an amazing thing for us to know. And to me, what a great builder of our faith, to know that we are more than conquerors in Christ. That, I don't know about you, but when I think about that, that builds my faith. It reminds me that I don't have to trust in myself. And in fact, I shouldn't trust in myself, because there is one that will give me the victory, one that will make me a conqueror. As the song earlier, he is the mighty conqueror, and he has already conquered. And so we go against the enemy, but not in our own ability and not with our own weapons, but again, with spiritual weapons that are mighty in God. And back in our chapter, he tells them to keep themselves from the accursed thing. All the things in Jericho were cursed. The only things that they were allowed to retrieve was the silver and gold that went to the Lord. But they weren't to take anything for themselves. Now, this again is a problem here, because normally when you go to war, what you get, you get the spoils of war. That's part of the deal. You conquer, you get the spoils. You get to keep the stuff. And God says, none of this is any good. And this is why, for me, this Jericho represents the flesh, because it just reminds me there's nothing good to keep out of the flesh. How often do we want to keep some part of that and say, oh, this is my good part, you know, this is my good thing over here. I want to keep this. No, the victory over the flesh needs to be complete, and nothing is taken. The same thing, I guess, if you want to think about the world system, there's nothing good in there for us. There's nothing for us to take with us. You know, I was listening to Brother David Jeremiah. I don't listen to him very often, but he was on the radio the other day, and there wasn't anything else on to listen to. So I listened to him a little bit. He said, it was very interesting. He said this. He said, we're all headed to the end of life. He said, there's no changing that. We're either going to go by way of the grave or by translation. He said, so in that case, he said, you're either headed towards your treasure or away from your treasure. You think about that for a minute. If your treasures are on earth, you're headed away from your treasure, because you're going to leave that back there. If your treasures are in heaven, you're headed towards your treasure. I thought that was a very interesting statement. The things that our hands, spiritually speaking especially, will grab hold of from the world, to hang on to cling on to. God wants to give us a complete victory. And I'm not trying to preach to you that you give up everything you own and go live in a cave or anything to that extent. That's not what I'm talking about. This is really about attitude. What is our attitude towards the things of the world? Is that our treasure? It's a really good thing to think about. Are we walking away from our treasure, or are we walking towards our treasure? Well, we're walking towards heaven. those of us that are saved, and we're all saved here tonight, we're walking towards heaven. Where's our treasure? Is it behind us or in front of us? It should be in front of us. There's nothing behind us. There's nothing in the world that's worth hanging on to. And so the things of Jericho, now this isn't going to be the case every place they go, but I think this is very important. God says, I'm going to give you this city. I have given it to you, but everything in it, you have to leave. You know, God wants to give us a victory over the flesh and not just partial victory. Many years ago, our young people, Nathan and Leah, and I forget who all was in that, they had a little skit that they did where they invited Jesus into their house, and they had a room where, you know, he was allowed to stay over here in this other place, you know, he wasn't allowed to go. This was their room, you know. And it was a very good skit because it reminded us how sometimes we are, right? Like, oh, you can have all of this stuff. There's a song on that CD with the Few Good Men. And if you listen to the song at first, you're like, this is a really terrible song. These words are terrible because I don't remember exactly how it goes, but it says, I'll do whatever you want, Lord, on one condition. And if you listen to the song, you realize it's satirical in a way. It's being sung from the point of view of how we are sometimes, which is, I'll do anything you want as long as you let me, as long as I can, as long as, you know, we begin to create our conditions. I'm with you, God. I'm with you. I'm with you, Lord. Except for that. And what he wants is complete surrender and complete obedience so that he can give us a complete victory. Because he wants to give us a complete victory. And so when they shouted, back in our chapter, when they shouted in verse 20, it says, the wall fell down flat. Flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, there's a lesson in this as well. When I was thinking about this, it occurred to me, every person facing the city went in front of himself. He went in the direction he was supposed to go. This could have gotten really chaotic, to be honest. There's a lot of people. But every person went where he was supposed to go. You know, God has a place for every one of us. We kind of had this thought a little bit this morning as well, but God has a place for every one of us, and he wants us to go in that place and do what he has put before us. Yes, Chuck. That's right. There are no casualties on the parts of Israel. That's correct. That is correct. See, this is a very complete victory, isn't it? And this is what, that's a good point, by the way, because this is what happens when we really put our faith in the Lord to bring the victory. See, when we go on our own, what we end up with is casualties. We're going to see this, by the way. This isn't all roses through this book. There's lessons, hard lessons in this book. But yes, they exactly did what God told them to do, and there were no casualties on Israel's part. Now, I have to imagine that the walls coming down must have taken out a very large percentage of the people that were in Jericho. Again, these are very large and very heavy walls, obviously. But they went up, every man in front of him, right? They went where they were supposed to, and it reminds us that God has a place for us, and he has a something for us that he wants us to do. He has a purpose for us. And we don't need to be looking and saying, oh, maybe I better go do what he was supposed to be doing, or maybe I should do what he was supposed to be doing. No, every one of them went up straight in front of him, it says. And I appreciate that. They took the city, it says in that verse 20. They took the city and utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. You know, some people read this and say, oh, this is such a terrible thing. How could they do such a thing? Well, remember, by the way, that God gave these people in the land of Canaan something in excess of 400 years to turn to him. The grace of God. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, God wants all of that flesh cut away. You know, God's grace is great. But if we want a true and complete victory, we have to let him have at all of our flesh, not just the parts that we think are bad. You know, that's how we like to do it, right? Oh, these parts I know, you know, this is the bad part of me. Take that away, Lord. No, we need to let him, have at all of our flesh and do what he needs to do to give a complete victory. And so in verse 22, he sends the two men in to go into Rahab's house. And I can just imagine Rahab coming out and just seeing the destruction. And understanding that it was only her faith that brought her to this place. I think sometimes we need that same understanding. We need to be reminded. We need to look around at what God is doing and be reminded that it's only by faith that we've come this far. And it's only by God's amazing grace that we've come this far. And why would we try to go further in our own when we know that it is by faith in him? The just shall live by faith. That's the theme of much of Scripture here. And so she comes out, and it says that she lived with them to the day that this was written, at least. She was still there in Israel. What amazing thing. God's grace has no limit. And God's grace will do amazing things. But it is appropriated by faith. It is appropriated by faith. We take and lay hold of God's grace by faith. Burnt the city with fire and all that was therein. This is a complete victory. It's all done. And then Joshua, in the end of this chapter, he says, he adjured them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and build. Boy, how often do we try to bring back the flesh? Let's build that back up. No. You know, God wants to give us a victory, and he wants us to have that victory. And every time the flesh rises up, because it does, we need to recognize what it is and recognize it for what it is. And again, turn to the Lord for victory by faith. And it says, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Do you think this was an important victory for Israel? Yeah. All around the enemies they were going to come up against, they heard this. And now they're very afraid, because how do you fight against this? How do you fight against this? So Israel should have a pretty easy time with victories, but alas, chapter 7 comes, and we'll get there. We're not going to be here next week. We're going to be out of town, but Lord willing, if we're still here the time after that, we will get to that chapter and see that sometimes we lose the victory because we choose to disobey God, to not obey what he says. And that robs us of our victory that we can have. I have, you know, if I think about this, just after this happens, you just have to think, what God just did. Now remember, by the way, so God has taken them through the Red Sea. He took them through Jordan, pushed back the Jordan. Great miracles. But this one is a miracle where they saw God take out their enemies for them. And you would think, wow, that's impressive and that's amazing. And they'll just trust God from here on perfectly. But, you know, the enemy, he never gives up. He never quits. He's never off the job, as I said before. Always on the job, trying to bring us back down. Great victory. We want to have the victory. And so, how are we going to have that? It's by faith. Any questions or comments? I'm quit tonight.